Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I've been really struggling with how to address stewardship over the course of this month. You know, October traditionally is the time that this congregation looks at stewardship, and we talk about, as I said, ways to lift up and support the ministries of the congregation with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. It's right there on the front of your bulletins. The phrases that are part of our commitment when we join a congregation to support the ministries of the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And I've been struggling with how to talk about this because I haven't felt very good about it myself, the way I support the ministries of this church with my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness. And, you know, I think that stems from a number of things. And I know it's somewhat controversial when I talk about myself, because some people love it, some people really don't, and I'm going to take a risk. Because you know that there are things happening in my personal life that I'm really wrestling with emotionally, but set that aside for just a second, because that that doesn't need to be discussed in any detail here. But set that aside for a moment, just acknowledging that the challenges, the emotional challenges that come along with that, and also the reality of the change that this congregation is enduring, right? And it starts at the denominational level. Right, the things that are happening in our denomination, I don't have a clue what's going to happen next. And I have the privilege of having some access to some people who have more information than most of us do. And my assessment is there's not a whole lot of wisdom about, here's what's coming next. Right? The way the denominational rules that were voted at this last general conference are that if I, as your pastor, if I serve you in some particular ways, which include performing weddings, then my vocational future is at profound risk. Now, let's be clear, that doesn't mean I'm not doing it. But there's a whole lot of questions for me about what's going to happen, because there are a lot of us who are really passionate about we must serve all of God's creation. We're going to have to figure out what that looks like as a denomination. And there's a lot of people smarter than me that are trying to figure it out, and the reality is there's a great big giant question mark. And we've been wrestling with that as a congregation. Many congregations have been wrestling with how are we going to move forward? And some congregations are even looking at, well, can we send our apportionments to a larger organization that is making rules that we find harmful? And how do we, how are we as a congregation stewards to the larger denomination? And do we feel right about those things? We're asking some hard questions about that. And so that's this great big question mark. Now, there's also the very real transition that we've had to experience in the church office. There's a new person in the church office. We are experiencing the grief of sudden loss with Amin's death, but also the reality that work has to continue to get done, and we have to print bulletins and make presentations for worship, and we're still not getting it 100% right all the time. We're still learning, we're still growing, we're still adjusting. There's the reality that we're in the middle of a search for a youth director. We said farewell to Dee, and there's this transition, and all of that is hard. And one of the things that I personally am struggling with is also the reality that we've all noticed, but we're sort of afraid to sometimes say out loud, that our worship attendance is down. Now, on one hand, I can say this has been really a growing trend over the last about 7 years, with a little blip when the new guy got here, but then sort of a continuation of the same trend. Okay. But I tell you that I wrestle with that personally, because I sort of tell myself that the buck stops here. That decline of worship attendance is also mirrored in our financial giving. We're struggling. We're having a hard time. And we might be faced with some really hard decisions. If you haven't been keeping track of the great information that's in your Beach Breeze every single month, please be sure that you do that, because our financial team is really being careful but also really authentic about where we are. And again, I take that, I don't take it personally like I'm a bad human being. I realize that I'm the pastor, the buck stops here. And I tell you, my friends, I feel pressure, and I place pressure on myself because I feel like there must be something to do. And so as we gather together to talk about stewardship, I want you to know that I'm having a hard time. Maybe that's okay. Like, maybe the reality is it's okay that we wrestle. Maybe the reality is that it's okay that we struggle. And I would suggest even further that not only is it okay, it's good that we name it, that we say, I'm having a hard time. Because if we don't say it, if we don't name it, we wrestle alone. And that can take us to some pretty dark places. Because the truth is, we're not alone. We're not on this journey by ourselves. We don't have to do this individually by ourselves, no matter what. And people who have been in this congregation for a short time and people who have been in this congregation for a long time may be experiencing some similar things. There are amazing people in this congregation who I would suggest probably feel as much pressure on themselves as I feel on myself. We got to figure out the next thing to do. We got to figure out a way to make this more like what we would envision it to be. When I first got here, and I haven't given up on this dream, when I first got here, one of the things that I thought about was, like, what would it look like to have such incredible growth in this congregation that maybe we had to tear down the administrative building and tear out the parking lot and put in underground parking and build a couple of levels up, right? Maybe even tear down the properties that we own out there just for a little bit more room so that we could build out and build up and build down. I haven't given up on that dream. But I want you to know that I think that there's possibility for this congregation, because I think this congregation does amazing things. But still, sometimes I get into that trap about the buck stops here. And it's with that in mind that I want us to turn to our scripture. You see, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. And it's a familiar story to us, but I want us to hear this story looking at what it is that Jesus actually does. Pay attention in this story to what Jesus does when it comes to feeding 5,000 people. Think about Jesus' perspective. Think about the disciples' perspective and what they do. Think about the people's perspective and who they are and what they do. Let's turn now to the Gospel of Mark. This is out of the 6th chapter, verses 30 to 44.
The apostles returned to Jesus and told him everything they had done and taught. Many people were coming and going, so there was no time to eat. He said to the apostles, "Come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." They departed in a boat by themselves for a deserted place. Many people saw them leaving and recognized them, so they ran ahead from all the cities and arrived before them. When Jesus arrived and saw a huge crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. Late in the day, his disciples came to him and said, "This is an isolated place, and it's already late in the day. Send them away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy something to eat for themselves." He replied, "You give them something to eat." But they said to him, "Should we go off and buy bread worth almost 8 months' pay and give it to them to eat?" He said to them, "How much bread do you have? Take a look." After checking, they said, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He directed the disciples to seat all the people in groups as though they were having a banquet on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, broke the loaves into pieces, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Everyone ate until they were full. They filled 12 baskets with the leftover pieces of bread and fish, about 5,000 had eaten.
I said, pay attention to what Jesus does. The disciples come to him and they say, everybody's hungry. We got to send them away. Okay, this is different from the feeding story that we read a few weeks ago, where they were in a really isolated area. It doesn't really tell us that they're in a really isolated area. Everybody's been super busy. Can we connect with that? Everybody's been super busy. Like, does that resonate for you? Everybody's been super busy. Okay, and they're hungry. So the disciples come to Jesus, and they're like, we got to do something. I can't think of anything else to do. Something must be done, and I can't figure out what it is. Does that resonate for you as well? You look around the world and say, something must be done, and I don't know what it is. And so Jesus asks some questions. And then he says, you do it. That's what he says. He says, you do it. Now, if we want to talk about the miraculousness of this story, yes, I think it's absolutely possible, and I've said this before, that Jesus prayed over that bread as it was being distributed, and it was in a miraculous way multiplied in ways that there was plenty for 5,000 people, such that there were, you know, 15 baskets or whatever left over. But the other thing that I said is I don't think it's any less of a miracle to think that these people who were busy, maybe they had just a meager amount with them, maybe enough for themselves and a little bit more, and were willing to share that in their groups of 100 or 50. I don't think that's less of a miracle. Because frankly, sometimes when I look around the world today and I see how much sharing we do, I think if we would share more, that would be a miracle. But at no point as I read this story, is there a sense that anyone has to manage this alone. Nobody has to manage this alone. Even Jesus has the disciples. What does he say? You give them something to eat. Jesus, I mean, if you want to think about it in a Trinitarian perspective, Jesus isn't alone because God and the Spirit are there. Nobody has to manage this alone. But here's where we get lost in this story sometimes. And here's what our failure, I think, sometimes is we look at the world and we're caught up in our busyness and we see that something needs to be done. And we look around and we say, something's got to be done. And we want to pray for that miracle. We want to pray for Jesus to do something magical or miraculous. And what we forget is that we are the miracle. What we forget is that we are the miracle. See, but in this story, there's not one person who shows up among those 5,000 and says, don't worry, I brought plenty of bread for everybody. The way I read this miracle is that everybody does a little bit. Because a little is enough. One of the things that I love to do in our house, and I can only do it on Saturdays because that's the only real sleeping in day. And then even then, it depends on whether or not Zach's got a soccer game. So I love to make special breakfast. It's either pancakes or biscuits and gravy. Those are my two go-tos for like special. Yes, you can come over anytime. And y'all are invited, but you got to let me know ahead of time, okay? But when I make pancakes, I'm a bit persnickety about pancakes. I'm not going to make them out of a recipe. I'm out of a box. I have to make them from scratch. Okay, and yesterday I was making pancakes, and you know what? I almost forgot to put in. I don't know if you've ever done this. Make pancakes from scratch. I almost forgot to put in the salt. There's only a little bit of salt in the recipe that I use, but if you forget to put it in, they don't taste like pancakes. There's something about just that little bit of salt. But a little is enough. Several weeks ago, it was on a Friday, the church office was closed. There weren't a lot of people here. Dick Versteeg was here. And a woman came up, and she was in tears. She said, I just wanted to drop off this check for the church. It was on the anniversary, the day that she was here this Friday, was on the anniversary of the death of her child. I don't ever want to know that pain about losing a child. But you see, her child had lived on the streets and had come by on a number of Wednesdays and had received a meal and had experienced community. This woman had connected with us around the time that her son died. She let us know what had happened. We shared some time in prayer. When she was here a few weeks ago, she dropped off a $1,000 check because a little is enough. My friends, when I think about how hard it is for any one of us to turn around any kind of decline, whether it's worship attendance or giving in this church, I have to remember that a little is enough. We'll have the opportunity to focus more on stewardship, really considering it through a lens of generosity, being generous because God is generous with us. But I want to remind you that as we talk about these things, it's not just about the money that goes in the offering plate. I think that's an important part of supporting the ministries of the church, but we have to think about those words that are on your order of worship, that we have the opportunity to pray. And I would ask, as we enter into this time of our focus on stewardship, that if you don't already pray for your church, if you don't already pray for the leaders of this church, and I don't just mean me, I mean the leaders of this church, from our finance to our administration to our music leaders to our tech leaders, pray. If you haven't already committed to pray for the leaders and the people and this congregation, please commit to doing that. Certainly for this month, and I would ask that you make this month the chance to make it a habit and to do it year-round. And if you already pray for this church and the leaders of this church, maybe if you pray once a week, maybe twice a week. If you already prayed twice a week, maybe three times a week. Just a little bit more. If you show up for church, maybe two Sundays a month, it's important. Like I feel like our purpose in gathering together in worship is to connect with God and connect with each other. And we can do both of those things a little bit more when we are here. And so I'd ask, maybe if you're here twice a month, that maybe you could make it three times a month. If you're here three times a month, maybe four times a month. If you're here every single Sunday, maybe you could join our Wednesday Bible study. To be present. We have the opportunity to find ways to give. And I know that many of us are on a fixed income. I confess that part of our challenge in the Rhodes House has been that Beth lost her job a few months ago. It's been hard. We haven't been giving as much as we would want. Good news on that front, by the way, she got three job offers a couple weeks ago. But it's hard. But if we're able even to step up our giving in a small amount, then perhaps we can consider what possibilities there are, because it's not all on one of us. It's connected to all of us. Of course, there are opportunities for service. And if you don't already come on a Wednesday to help serve the meal or just to be in community with people to see how this changes lives, if maybe in your giving you might want to support our Project Grace Meal specifically, or you could join our tech team, or you could serve as a Sunday school teacher. If you're feeling intimidated about any of those things, don't worry. There are folks to guide you through all of those. There are specific curriculums that are used. There's training that goes along with the technical side. There are many ways to serve this church and to be of service to your community. I would invite you to look at ways to do that. And lastly, there are ways to be a witness for the ways God has changed your life. And some of those things have to do with pride, and some of those things are related differently. As we enter into this time of stewardship focus, let us remember that God is generous with us and we have an opportunity to be generous. I want you to know that there are going to be other people who are going to be speaking to you about stewardship over the course of this month. Next week, you're going to hear from Mavi. She's going to be sharing with us a bit. Other folks that we have who will speak to you include Sue Yen Kuhn and Craig Roberts, who will be sharing about their experiences of this congregation and how they are moved to participate in the ministries of the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. My friends, it's not all on any one of us. We are together connected, and together we are the miracle. Friends, I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer, remembering that when we celebrate Holy Communion, that rather than speaking our Lord's Prayer, we sing our Lord's Prayer. And if you don't remember how to do that, you'll be led through. Gracious God, thank you for reminding us that we are connected, that together we are the body of Christ. We cannot all be exactly the same. As Paul writes, we're not all an eye or an ear. And yet we are all vital to the ministry that is before us, the ministry to which you call us. In this connection as the body of Christ, we also know that when one part of the body is harmed, that we all experience that grief, that pain. And when one part of the body is celebrated, that we might all join together in rejoicing and in hope. God, we lift up those communities that experience violence. We lift up those who are seeking hope, knowing that in all of these places and all of these times that you are present, that in the connectedness of the body of Christ that we might support and care for and love one another. Help us to know your presence, know your peace, to know your love. We pray in the name of Jesus our Christ, who teaches us to pray as we sing together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us all. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In heaven, hallowed be thy name.